नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्तादिशता गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे कृष्ण day before yesterday at around 9:45 at night one of our god brothers Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu left his body in Sridham Vrindavan so I decided that today I'll speak on Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, whatever I remember or whatever encounters I had with him. Actually, I should have done it yesterday only, but somehow it didn't occur to me but today I was reflecting on Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu and I thought that I should. Actually, like yesterday evening, I was thinking of him, and then I thought that I would share my memories of Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu with all of you. And Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was a very wonderful devotee. I first met him in 1977 when I was serving Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan from Rishikesh we went to Vrindavan with Prabhupada and that was actually my first visit to Vrindavan and I was serving Srila Prabhupada, so I was practically occupied with Srila Prabhupada all the time. And I did not have much contact with the local devotees in the temple at that time. But Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was one who I developed a very very friendly and warm relationship with. For various reasons. One reason is when he got to know that I was Bengali, those days there were very few Indian devotees in ISKCON. Most of the devotees were from America and Europe. There are very few Indian devotees, and when Bibhu Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know that I was an Indian devotee and a Bengali, so he became very interested in me, and he started to display his special care and affection upon me. He was quite old at that time. Chaitanya Prabhu must have been about 31 years back. 31 years back, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was about 56 years old. 55 years old. And he was quite old. I mean, those days we are young, very young. 55 was old man according to our calculation. And to him, I was just a young boy. And then he was very interested in me because I was serving Srila Prabhupada. Those days, to become Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Prabhupada's servant, was something out of this world. Like it was the most exalted position you can think of in ISKCON world. And he was obviously quite attached to me. And those days, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu's service was cooking for the deities. And the meetings that we used to have were mainly during Mangal Arati and in the evening, if I could make it to the evening Arati, or if, because that's the time he was to be free. He was very, very, very sincere and very committed devotee. Like, the way I used to see him was like Mangal Arati. He would come to the Mangal Arati, and right after Mangal Arati, he would just walk into the kitchen, deity kitchen. And the whole day he would be there. He would be cooking for the morning offering, then he would cooking the Rajbhog offering, then he would cook the afternoon offering. In between, probably he used to get 1 or 2 hours just to take his bath and take his prasad. But otherwise he was, all the time he was in the kitchen. And the wonderful thing was that he was always chanting. He was cooking and he was chanting. And loudly, he would chant loudly in melodious way. Not just mechanical repetition, but very loudly he would sing the holy name of the Lord, very sweetly. I heard one time that some people, some devotee complained to Prabhupada that Bibhu Chaitanya doesn't chant his 16 rounds. Then Prabhupada asked, what does he do? He said, he cooks for the deities from morning. And then Prabhupada said, well, he doesn't need to chant his 16 rounds. And then one day Prabhupada was on a morning walk, just he was walking around the temple, and he heard Bibhu Chaitanya's loud chanting. And Prabhupada asked, who is chanting? And I think he commented, who is chanting so beautifully? And devotee said, that's Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. And then Prabhupada said, he's chanting, you know, he admired his chanting, that he's chanting so beautifully. And then Prabhupada also commented that when one chants all the time, then he doesn't need to chant on his beats. If we can chant all the time, that is, there are two kinds of chanting, japa. One is chanting with count, sankha purvak. Sankha means keeping count. So you chant with keeping count, that's very good. Then you can chant 16 rounds, 34 rounds, 64 rounds, 128 rounds. 194 rounds, 192 rounds, 3 lakhs. But if you are chanting all the time, then there was no need to keep count. And Prabhupada pointed out that when one chants all the time, then that is called asankhya nam. Asankhya, countless. And that was the amazing thing. And we always saw Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu is always chanting. Always chanting. So Prabhupada noticed that. And Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu otherwise, apparently he was a very simple devotee. very simple devotee. Like, he was from Bengal, he came to Vrindavan and he saw ISKCON temple and he became interested and he wanted to join. And those days, although there were very few Indian devotees, but there was a very strict screening of selecting Indian devotees. Because, especially in Vrindavan, people would come, become devotees and steal. They would not come to become devotees, they would come to take the opportunity to steal. Therefore, the devotees were very, very strict about who they would allow to stay in the temple. But when Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu came, everybody could see. That's what Harisari Prabhu reported. He was the temple commander in Vrindavan at that time, and he was the one who was selecting, who used to do the screening. And seeing Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, he could just see that he is a sincere devotee. He doesn't have any other motivation. Like, he was very simple-hearted, very pure, and very humble and submissive. So he joined in 75, and I saw him in early 77. And he was already doing the deity cooking for the deities. So it was quite quick progression, you can say. Like, he had already got his first initiation, second initiation, and he was engaged in one of the most important services. Like Vrindavan, in Vrindavan we had our first temple, and that created quite a sensation in Vrindavan. It's a beautiful temple. And that was the first temple Prabhupada built in India. Very beautifully designed, very beautifully built. And we had three sets of deities, very amazing deities of Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyamsundar and Gaurnitai. And the deity worship standard Prabhupada established, the standard Prabhupada established in Vrindavan was extremely high, extremely lofty for deity worship, because that was considered to be the standard. And the deity Shringar used to be exquisite, immaculate. I remember one French devotee, one of our God brothers. After those days, everyone was either a God brother or a God sister. In ISKCON, those days, all were Prabhupada disciples. And this devotee was very artistic. And the way he used to do the Shringar of the deities were very attractive. So deity Shringar was very opulent and very beautiful. Deity worship was very, very high standard. And naturally then the prasad also was very, very high class. And Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was, actually, nowadays in our kitchen, how many devotees cook? The deity Rajbhog and 5 devotees. Now mind you, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was doing that he was the only devotee. And he was doing all the offerings every day. In those days there were not so many devotees in our temple. And that's one thing, and another thing is that he wouldn't let anybody cook. because he could see that the devotees don't know how to cook. Most of the devotees didn't know how to cook. And so he was very particular about the standard, and they wouldn't know how to cook. And then later on, when he handed over that service, because of his old age, the devotees, the management of Vrindavan insisted that he retires from this service. That also, after a lot of endeavor, they managed to convince him. But he did that, the training two devotees to cook. He personally trained two devotees for 6 months or so, and then he handed over the service. And standard of the deity, devotee life offerings were very, very high. And I would see, like, I also, those days, I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada, so some often I used to go get some bhoga from him or some spices from him. And I would go there and see that he was the kitchen, deity kitchen in Vrindavan is quite large. And he was the only person in the controlling the entire kingdom of the devotee kitchen, large kitchen. The only person, he's everywhere. He's amazing personality. He's quite frail actually. His body, he was not a big bodied person. He was quite old, he was quite thin. And with Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, I remember one incident. Actually, deity kitchen those days was just next to Srila Prabhupada's quarters. The same level actually. Prabhupada's roof and the devotee kitchen, the deity kitchen was on the same level. Although two different buildings, but that was on the first floor. Prabhupada's roof was on the same level. One day I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada, one afternoon, and Prabhupada was sitting on the on his bed on the roof. Bed means it's a dari. Like in India, they make beds called khatia. They are made of coconut ropes. And so Prabhupada had one, and we used to put a cushion on top of that, a cotton mattress on top, and Prabhupada used to sit there sometimes in the afternoon. And sometimes Prabhupada used to sleep there in the summer also at night. Prabhupada used to like to sleep on the roof in during summertime. So Prabhupada was there sitting on that khatia, and I was sitting on the floor in front of Srila Prabhupada. And then all of a sudden Prabhupada asked me, go find out what are they cooking. So I went to the deity kitchen, and I found that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was cooking kachoris and samosas for the offering, afternoon offering. So, and those days Prabhupada hardly used to eat anything because Prabhupada's health was not in good condition. And so I went and told, I thought Prabhupada was just curious to find out was cooking, because Prabhupada could get the smell of the cooking of. And Hari Bol, Kaivalya Prabhu, Hare Krishna Chaitanya, Kaivalya Prabhu ki jai. Kaivalya Prabhu is a god brother of ours from America, Dr. Mahajan. He's a very well-known doctor there in Philadelphia area. So Kaivalya Prabhu just arrived. You came a day early. Oh. And you'd had some rest? You got your rooms and everything? Privrata, you took care of him nicely?
Just meeting now.
Oh, I see. But you had somebody with you. You knew that he was coming. Good. Yesterday, the day before yesterday night, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, our god brother in Vrindavan, left his body. So today we are just remembering him. So, so Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, yeah, so I went and told Prabhupada that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu is cooking kachuris and samosas. Then Prabhupada said, get some for me. So when Prabhupada said, get some for me, it was the most wonderful thing for me, because Prabhupada hardly used to eat those days, and now he wanted to eat something. So I just ran. And right at that time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were just coming into Prabhupada's room on the roof. And when they saw me running like that, they asked me what happened. They were a little concerned. What happened? So I said, Prabhupada wanted to have some kachuris and samosas. Now, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very particular in taking care of Prabhupada. So he said, yeah, you can't give kachuris and samosas to Prabhupada. I said, I just screamed, Prabhupada wanted it. And I just ran between two of them. And I went to Prabhupada's kitchen. I got his silver thali and went up to the deity kitchen. And I told Bibi Chaitanya Prabhu that Prabhupada wanted some kachuris and samosas. And then he was very happy to hear that Prabhupada wanted his kachuris and samosas. So I got two kachuris and two samosas on the plate. And I came to the roof, Prabhupada's roof. And then I offered it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada took the plate. They were very hot. Now, because they're just out of the frying pot. And so it was very hot, so Prabhupada just smashed it. And then he started to pick up some small pieces and started to eat. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's concern was correct, because Prabhupada did not eat for a long time. And then all of a sudden, when one was not eating for so long, to have just fried in ghee, kachuris and samosas, dripping with ghee. I mean, he thought that was something not really going to be suitable for Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada started to eat. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda were sitting on the floor of the roof, on the roof. So Prabhupada just looked at them and then Prabhupada said, don't see. And immediately their heads dropped. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj got on my case afterwards. He said that you give kachuri and samosa to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada will feel uneasy through the night, he won't be able to sleep, and his health condition will deteriorate. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very, very concerned about Srila Prabhupada, because he took it as his responsibility to take care of Srila Prabhupada's health condition, and that time Prabhupada's health was not very good. And I just reasoned with him, see, Prabhupada wanted it, what can I say? Could I tell Prabhupada that no, Prabhupada, you should eat kachuris and samosas? At least I couldn't do that. And he was, his main concern was that night Prabhupada would not be able to sleep. And when the morning, when I went to Prabhupada, the first concern actually was how Prabhupada slept. And And I could see that Prabhupada didn't have any difficulty. Prabhupada slept very well. So I was very relieved and I told him, see? Then later on I told Pishima about that incident. Pishima was Prabhupada's sister. Then Pishima just commented, if Prabhupada wants, he can even digest rocks. So we should not think that Prabhupada was an ordinary person. Prabhupada was the pure devotee of the Lord. And he is not subjected to the material conditions. And Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu was, as I mentioned, like he was a very, very dedicated devotee. Like the whole day he was just cooking for the deities. And it was not just one or two days. 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. And those days Prabhupada actually told us in Vrindavan that we don't need to go out of the temple. That means we don't need to go out of the premises of ISKCON temple, ISKCON temple premises. And Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu was one devotee who never went out of Vrindavan. Never went out of the temple, not only Vrindavan. He never went out of the ISKCON temple premises. I was told only once he went out. Only once. Otherwise he just stayed there the whole day and serving from morning till night. He didn't need to go out. He never went out in any parikrama. He didn't go out in sightseeing. If you ask Bhīva Caitanya where is Bangshibhat, where is Keshighat, he didn't know anything. All he knew is Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, and Gaur Nithai, and Prabhupada. He had an implicit faith that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And he was simply attached to Srila Prabhupada. And so Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu, all he did is just served and chanted. He would serve from morning till night. Right after Mangalarati, he would just walk straight from the temple into the kitchen, deity kitchen, and he would be there the whole day. And what he was chanting, what he was doing while he was cooking, he was chanting. And chanting in a melodious way, very sweet, in a very sweet melodious way. I was thinking of repeating how he used to chant it, but then I decided not to because he chanted so sweetly that I won't be able to repeat it properly. I won't be able to demonstrate it properly. Very sweet. And he was very, very, strict in all respects. Like in one hand he was very humble, but he would be very, very strict and very very pure in his intention. Later on, as I said, like Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu was forced actually to stop cooking for the deities because his body bent down with age. But still he was just cooking for the deities. And I remember still, although his body was bent down with his age, but he was so strong. I remember once, I just arrived in Vrindavan, I was in Mangalarati, and somebody just came and embraced me from behind. And I could feel, he embraced me, and then I turned around and I saw that it was Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu. He would do that. Whenever he would see me, he would just embrace me. What I remember, that although his body bent down with age, but that embrace was so strong. And whenever I would go, he would make it a point to give me the Charanamrit. And Vrindavan Charanamrit used to have a lot of ghee. And he would just give me the ghee. And I would tell him that, look, so much ghee. And such a nice devotee. And I used to tell my disciples in Vrindavan to take care of him. And they did that. They had a very wonderful relationship with Bhīva Caitanya Prabhu. Last time I remember when I went to Vrindavan, he was he was sick, so I told him that I would go to see him. I sent a message that I would come to see him. And then when I went, I saw that he made an elaborate arrangement for me. He had a seat really nicely decorated. He assembled all the junior devotees, including my disciples there. And he had a grand reception of me when I went to see him. I went to see him, but he gave me a grand reception. And he was insistent. I was telling him, look, I came to see you here. I didn't come here to get my Guru Puja here. And that's what he arranged. Like, he had arranged a Guru Puja. And then he offered, made it a point, like, I sit in that asan, had a Guru Puja, there he had arranged all the flowers, and and then he arranged for me to have, he arranged a nice prasad, the Mahaprasad from the temple, and he wanted me to honor the prasad. He made me sit down. And there was no sign. I thought that I am coming to see a sick person who probably is incapacitated and bedridden. But here he was, although he was, as I mentioned, he was bent with age. But he was so active. And he would not take any seva from anybody. Like, we had to force that devotees would take care of him. And he allowed, he was staying in the guest house, at the back of the guest house, one room. And it was, he allowed two devotees to stay with him. But he did not treat them as his servants. But he used to kind of treat them as, you know, two devotees were sharing the room with him, and he used to take care of them instead of them taking care of him. And he was... It's a pity that for a long time I haven't been able to go to Vrindavan. My last visit to Vrindavan was about a year ago. No, about 2 years ago almost. The last time also, it was, the last visit was a very short visit when Bhakti Sivadamana Maharaj left. That was, how long ago was that? About 1.5. Maybe 14 months. But that was the, I just went and that's the time I saw Bibi Chaitanya Prabhu the last time. Otherwise, previously I used to go to Vrindavan for the month of Kartik and stay there for the whole month. But when I started to get more and more busy with other responsibilities, I couldn't spend so much time in Vrindavan, and my visits were also very sporadic. And I feel bad that such a wonderful devotee, I couldn't really take his association. He was very simple and humble. He wouldn't give the impression of a very learned, exalted person. He was simple. He had simple faith that Radharani had been very merciful to him, that she allowed him to serve. She used to think that her service to the kitchen, deity kitchen, was simply the mercy of Radharani. And he used to always think that Krishna is always there to take care. He didn't want to take medicine. He said, what's the use of medicine? Krishna, whatever Krishna does, that'll be fine. He wouldn't take any medicine. He wouldn't take any service from anybody. And such a wonderful example. for all of us. He did not want to have a big worship, but he was proud, he was very, yes, I can say proud, that he was Prabhupada's, he received Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He considered that that's his greatest good fortune, that he received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada appreciated him so much. Prabhupada used to go out on morning walks. Devotees used to just try to get this opportunity to go out with Srila Prabhupada. There used to be a competition, there used to be a real struggle to make one's way with Srila Prabhupada in the morning walk. Bibi Chaitanya Prabhu never tried to do that. He never tried to have any recognition or any big position. He didn't want to become a big devotee in any way. All he wanted to do is chant the holy name and serve with implicit faith. And I was told his passing away was very wonderful, that he was already quite old and bedridden, and the temple management wanted to shift him to some other better facility where they could take care of him in a better way, but he refused. He just wanted to be there. And all along he used to say, Krishna is there, he is going to take care. And he stopped the functions of his organs, gradually stopped. And the day before yesterday, they saw that he was not able to recognize anybody. He was kind of completely withdrawn. So the devotees devotees started a kirtan. The news spread, many devotees came. I was told that Dhanadhar Maharaj came, was there, Burijan Prabhu was there, many Prabhupada disciples were there, and they were massaging his feet. And in the middle of kirtan, they had continuous kirtan for 10 hours in his room. And then at 9:45, day before yesterday, he left his body. So here is a perfect example of a pure devotee, a humble devotee, who is just happy serving and following Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada told him there is no need to go out. Prabhupada just made a general announcement, actually, that our devotees, ISKCON devotees, do not need to go out of the temple premises. And although the standard changed with time, now ISKCON devotees are everywhere in Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is flourishing with the ISKCON devotees' bank accounts. And Lai Bazaar and all those places are becoming so prosperous. Devotees come, spend money. But Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was one person, one devotee, who just stuck to that instruction of Srila Prabhupada. He never felt any need to go out of the temple. What to speak of going out of the temple premises, he personally I have seen, like, he hardly went out of even the temple room. Just he was in the temple room, and I don't know when he went to, when he was actively serving, I didn't see when he even used to go to his room. I think those days he used to stay in the Gurukul building, Brahmacharya, where the Brahmacharya stayed. And that also he must have gone there late at night and in the morning. Every day he was there for Mangalarati. And straight from Mangalarati, I remember, have the darshan of Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, and then the staircase leading to the deity kitchen, and he just walked in there. And the whole day he was there. He didn't even come out of the kitchen. And that incident, when I later on I came and told him that how much Prabhupada liked his samosas and kachuri, I mean, the expression in his face was something like, all his cooking endeavors have achieved its ultimate success, that Prabhupada liked his cooking. Prabhupada liked the samosa and kachuri and he ate it. Such a wonderful devotee example. And this shows that we don't have to become a big devotee. All we have to become is a simple devotee, a humble devotee, a sincere devotee. And Bhiva Chaitanya Prabhu is a perfect example of that. Absolutely clean in his heart, no duplicity, no duplicitous attitude. No ambition, no personal agenda. All he wanted is just to serve and chant. Serve and chant. And he was a perfect example, as Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And he was always so happy. He was always happy. Never had any complaint. Never had any demand. Never criticized anybody, just simply served. And served with such intensity that even when his body became incapacitated, he was not willing to give up his service. He would just continue on and on and on. And same service, no change. Like, finally I think, at least I saw him cooking for the deities in 77. And it must have been only about 5-6 years back that he was he was forced to give up that service. So that would mean, 25 years doing the same, surrendering the same service, day in and day out. Such a wonderful example. I used to tell him that I envy his position. He's there in Vrindavan all the time. And he used to say, no, you are preaching the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Your service is the highest kind of service. You don't need to be in Vrindavan. You're carrying Vrindavan with you. So inspiring. He's always looking at things in such a positive way. And assuming such a humble position for himself. His mood was not, yes, I am in Vrindavan. I never left Vrindavan. I didn't even leave the temple premises. I stayed within the temple serving Krishna Balaram all the time. No. Rather, he was always glorifying others that, no, you are doing such an important service. And he maintained a very humble position, never really tried to become a big scholar. He was, to begin with, he was a simple person. At least, I don't know what his background was. Maybe he was a very scholarly person. But the impression that he gave is as if he's illiterate, not a very scholarly person. Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu ki.